Weekend Huddle, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Good Saturday morning to you all. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier with you this morning. Christian Skelton behind the boards. And let me just get this out of the way right now. I am Willie Donicking it today. My voice is not 100%, so bear with me. But the show must go on.
Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here. How are things, Frazier? Captain, I should call you.
Thank you.
Ahoy, matey.
Thank you, sailor. Appreciate it. Yeah, captain's doing great this morning. Was a big hit in Key West, obviously. Did a lot of work.
And clearly.
Yeah. And so back here in Nashville. And
clearly a hit on a good old Rocky Top as well.
Yeah, that too. it looks like Nashville is, what, overcast, but 60-something degrees. That's kind of where it was Monday, Tuesday in Key West, so... Back here in Nashville, we'll see what happens.
That's hopefully. Just average Florida weather. Like, it's sunny to start, and then it pisses rain for 2 hours, and then it's sunny again.
No, but Monday, Tuesday, it was cold. It was like 61 degrees.
Really?
30-mile-per-hour winds.
In Florida?
Yes.
Wow.
The lowest point of the United States of America.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let me first say hi to Christian. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are things?
Things are well. Things are well. Glad to be here for another morning with you guys.
Are you excited to watch the Vols not cover a 38.5 point spread today?
Yeah, it's a lot of points. Well, it's gone down a ton because last I saw it, I haven't checked since early in the week. It was like 42.5 or something. I was like, we are not covering that. But 38.5, maybe. You never know.
It's okay. Tennessee Tech's going to cover against my team today.
What is that? 21.5, something like that?
28, I think.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably cover that.
They're going to cover. They going to cover. Okay, so we begin today with a little bit of breaking news in the college football world of things. According to College Game Day, and now since recently re-reported by our good friend, not actually, Pete Nakos, James Franklin and Virginia Tech are engaged in early talks about him becoming the next football coach of the Hokies. Big news out in the ACC, and I cannot say I'm surprised. I kind of expected James Franklin to end up somewhere. I think he fits Virginia Tech pretty well. I kind of knew this news was coming yesterday due to a friend of a friend of a friend, Jake Lyman. I think he fits that scheme well. I think he's going to help elevate that program back to sort of the Beamer days where they're consistently winning 9 to 10 games. Although I do expect the James Franklin can't win big games thing to continue because that's just who he is. But in talking to a local Virginia Tech Hokie who may or may not be on the air weekdays 9 to 12, he is excited because he just wants to be back in the big game. So I think this is probably going to end up being a good hire. Look, it's not in stone yet. Virginia Tech is still running a full scale interview process across the nation trying to find their next head coach, but I think we all know where it's going, and James Franklin is likely going to be the next Hokie head coach.
Yeah, James Franklin's on the trajectory, and Connor, close your ears when I say this. He's on the trajectory of Brian Kellyism, and he's on the Brian Kellyism and
hashtag
John Calipari-ism, because it's getting to the point with James Franklin, sure, he's going to send Virginia Tech into another stratosphere with wins probably. You know, the 8 to 9 wins every single year. Maybe they get to 10 wins. Who knows? But this is a good fit for him. I just have a sick feeling that this could end rather sour in some aspects when it comes to – obviously, this is probably 5 years down the road, but things will probably end sour with James Franklin. Not like how Penn State ended, but definitely a little bit more bitter.
Maybe not. I don't know. Because I kind of compare it to what Lane Kiffin is doing right now. Lane Kiffin, I don't think, is going to leave Ole Miss because of the reason that he can win 9 to 10 games every year, and that fan base and that institution is completely satisfied with what they do. Virginia Tech, I think, is around the same area in that if you win 9 to 10 games at Virginia Tech, they're going to build a statue for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to enshrine you in the golden, you know, whatever you want to call it.
The Golden Hall, I guess.
The Golden Hall. I almost said golden something we're not supposed to say, but I've said it before on these airwaves and got in trouble for it.
There you go.
I think 9 to 10 wins in today's ACC is capable of getting you into the college football playoff. I think that's something that you can look at and say, yeah, that's probable, because look at what the ACC is doing right now. There isn't a team in the ACC in today's era that I look at and say that team is just head and shoulders above everyone else.
That's true.
Miami, we thought, might be that team this year, and then they've kind of fallen off. Louisville just lost last night to Clemson. Clemson has 5 losses on the season, and that looks like an all-time bad prediction for me, picking them to be in the national championship this year. There's not a team in the ACC that can completely set themselves apart from the others like there is in maybe the Big Ten and sometimes the SEC. In the ACC, you just have to win 9 to 10 games, and you're probably in. You're probably in your conference championship, and more importantly, you're probably in the college football playoff. That said, James Franklin has experience in the college football playoff. He has experience winning 9 to 10 games per year. That seemed to be the gold standard at Penn State. I think he's going to fit this team relatively nicely to what they want to do.
Yeah, and you make a great point about the ACC and how it's a conference that he can kind of take advantage of. Mm-hmm. He can make it basically his own playground. The ACC is not as strong as people see from the outside. Clemson's not what they used to be. Like you mentioned, Miami, they come and go with good teams here and there. I mean, SMU's one of those newcomers in the ACC, obviously, with the whole conference realignment stuff. But
yeah.
Virginia looks pretty decent. Maybe that Virginia-Virginia Tech rivalry kind of rekindles itself.
I fear their coach is about to get poached.
Yeah, it's possible.
By a bigger team.
That's very possible.
I think almost a former Tennessee head coach, Tony Elliott.
Really?
Yes, we almost hired – Danny White tried to hire him before we hired Heupel.
That's funny. That's the second almost Tennessee coach that has been brought up on this station in the last 24 hours. I said some 3 words yesterday that Tennessee fans know very well.
Oh, boy.
What would those be?
Hell no. Shiano.
Oh, yes. Love those words.
But, yeah, I think just a little insight on the breaking news. I also want to get into the Predators off in Sweden.
Yep.
Currently. They get a big win yesterday.
Great win.
Great win in overtime. 2-1 over the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're in action tomorrow at 8 a.m., I will be here at 6 a.m., so if anyone wants to call and keep me some company, that would be great.
Condolences to your sleep schedule.
It's okay. I like money. Anyways, big win for the Predators yesterday. Philip Forsberg scores with under a minute to go in regulation to tie the game up at 1, and then very, very quickly into overtime, Steven Stamkos hammers one home.
Filthy.
Goes top Cheddar over the goalie, and the Predators get the win.
Tucked it away where Mama hides at Thin Mints, man. I mean, that was beautiful.
It was also cool to see that starting lineup intro, and they get to Philip Forsberg, and all of Sweden just erupts. It was I was listening to the radio call, and that was beautiful. Normally I'm not a fan of these international games across sports. I'm okay with it in hockey, because hockey outside of the U.S. is massive in some of these European countries. Football is the main one I have a problem with. Like, we don't need to see American football being played
in Madrid, Spain tomorrow.
In Madrid, Spain.
Like, no need for that.
There's no point.
It's cool. Like, if you're an American fan that wants to go overseas to watch a game in Europe, it's pretty neat because you gave a little taste of home. But other than that, no. I mean, hockey's a little different because it's more of a global sport already established. Like, when you look at Philip Forsberg, when he scored that goal yesterday, the smile on his face ear to ear and seeing the reaction from the fans – that is such a wholesome moment for not only all of Sweden, but for especially Philip Forsberg. Like, that was incredible to see on the television.
Yeah. Well, apparently it glitched out on the TV. Yeah. So it completely skipped over his name, and you just see the fans in the crowd go, yeah, all right. All right. But more importantly, the Preds get a win. I kind of said yesterday, if the Preds go winless in Sweden, I think it might be time to pull the plug on Andrew Burnett.
Yeah.
That said, if they do the opposite route and they come out of Sweden with 4 points, which is the maximum they can get, what does that mean for Brunette? What does that mean for this team moving forward?
To me, looking at the Brunette situation, look, if they come away with points, which they already are coming away with points from Sweden, the clock is still ticking, but it's almost like someone hit the stop on it and is just waiting to start it again. That's how I feel about the Brunette situation. I don't want to say a ticking time bomb, because there is some optimism in the room for that, but it's almost like someone has the stopwatch and says, hey, you know what? let's stop it for right now. See how this plays out. Because, look, and Greg Wyshynski with ESPN said it yesterday on Chasing Big Joe, it almost has the same vibe as the U2 concert that was canceled in Vegas when they were in that little run. This kind of has that same vibe a little bit. And Stamkos and Forsberg were obviously in the post-game press conference yesterday, and there was just a lot of optimism around that press conference, and that Stamkos was just – I could hear in his voice of just trying to get that little jolt out of the team.
Yeah.
After
and he's not a guy that shows a lot of emotion. No. So it was good to hear that. I think Joe made an interesting point a couple days ago that said Trotz may have already made up his mind on Brunette before this Sweden trip. I think that if they come away with 4 points, that delays it. I think they would Barry would go, okay, he's showing signs of progression. We're getting a little bit of momentum here. They come back home after this, I believe, and have a nice little homestand. So I believe that if they could start showing some signs of momentum, especially offensively, which they didn't really show anything offensively yesterday until the last, 10 minutes of the actual game, I think that this is going to trend positively for the Predators. And maybe I'm being a little bit too optimistic, but I feel like things are starting to gel together if you're the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, there's one scenario that kind of, I wouldn't say bugs me, but I look at it and I say, oh, there's the Rexford thing of the day.
There you go.
I had to get out of the way. But no, the one thing I look at, and you make a great point, kind of like I mentioned with the stopwatch, it looks almost as if the Preds are not in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, or if they are, here's the issue I have. If they're in a fringe playoff spot, like 2 or 3 points out of a playoff spot before Thanksgiving.
Do you buy or do you sell?
Exactly. That's where you're playing, I'm Humpty Dumpty, I'm sitting on the wall, do I lean left, do I lean right, where do I go? That's kind of how I feel about the whole situation, and I'm sure the whole front office is feeling the same way. So if they can string together a few wins and collect some points and kind of work their way up in the Central, then they can kind of get something going here. And they have a really good roster, and it'd just be unfortunate to see it kind of fall like Humpty Dumpty into crack.
That's a great analogy.
Thank you.
Way to tie nursery rhymes and Predators hockey together.
That's what a captain does.
I'm proud of you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you got any thoughts on anything we can get to. The Predators. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Titans and, of course, college football throughout the program. Also, let me tell you that at 10 o'clock, we will react to the weekend poll results. They have been fired up today. A lot of votes. And don't miss your opportunity to vote as well. The question today, which of these four GOATs, greatest of all times in their respective sports, was the most revolutionary to their sports? Your options are as follows. The true basketball GOAT, Michael Jordan. Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky. And baseball is very debatable, so I narrowed it down to this guy, Willie Mays. Those are your four options. You can go vote on our Twitter. We will get to those results at 10 o'clock in the morning. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit of Titans in hour number one. Is there any positive takeaway that you can come to the conclusion of in the first half of the season from the Tennessee Titans? And also, what can we expect or not expect in the second half of the season as the Titans are in action tomorrow at Nissan Stadium against the arch rival Houston Texans? That's all coming up next. Again, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get all into it all next right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. For context, I came into the station just blasting this song.
Yeah, big MJ guy, huh?
I love Michael Jordan, too, but Michael Jackson. I love that song. I love that album. Great album. Today is rivalry day, everyone. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Western Kentucky today at 2:30. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. 100 miles of hate going on today. Should be interesting to watch. Middle without their quarterback one. So, not looking great.
No Nick Vadiato.
Not looking great. It's funny. I talked about this yesterday a little bit. Kind of making a joke about, Middle's probably not winning this one. Then within 2 seconds, I get a text from Mr. Chip Walters. Ye of little faith.
Oh, boy.
So,
Chip loves you, man.
I love Chip.
He's great. Chip Waller's the man.
He's a man.
Chip's the man, but is there really any faith to be had?
Yeah, there's always faith. You
got to
have
faith. George Michael said so.
You got to have the faith. Yes. That's true.
That's what I'm talking about, Connor.
Not a big George Michael guy, but he did say that. You know, this is such a tangent. Every time I hear that song, I think of The Office. Where it was
Andy and his little Andy quartet.
And it was Stephen Colbert, and I can't repeat his nickname on air, but...
Broccoli Rob?
Oh, it was Broccoli. Oh, no. Andy was the nickname that I cannot
remember.
Yeah,
I can't
Broccoli that. Rob. But he was, every time I hear that, I think of, it might be nice. We get a huddle brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Real quick before we get into the Titans, Devin and Dixon on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, has an interesting thought on the Predators. He says, I think any positive momentum that comes out of the Sweden series is only delaying the inevitable for Bruno and the Preds. However, this should kick off a U2-style point streak, and they are solidly a playoff contender by American Thanksgiving. We had the best pump. We had best pump the brakes a second on any firing. 1,000% agree. I think it's delaying the inevitable, perhaps maybe a little bit, but I'll take any positive momentum I could get.
Yeah, look, I would love to see Andrew Burnett be wildly successful in Nashville.
And I love Andrew Burnett.
I think
he's a great coach.
I think he can be the solution, but he just has to prove it. And all the people out there saying, fire Burnett, whatever, I'll have Trotz get behind the bench, coach this team.
Trotz, like, get behind the bench.
That's not going to happen.
Come on,
like,
man.
If it does happen, then I'm wrong, whatever. But, I mean, pump the brakes a little bit, people. And Devin's right. Pump the brakes, because this is a team that is – really skilled, and you know, once Yossi gets back in the swing of things and you have all your pieces connecting and all back from injury, this is a team that can really do some danger in the NHL.
I think it's a product of they're just not playing up to their ability.
Right.
This is a very talented roster, and I think they're capable of making a lot of noise in the Western Conference, but they just haven't played to the standard that they're held to. Steven Stamkos has not played to the standard. He's starting to turn it up a little bit, but he has not so far been Steven Stamkos.
One thing I did hear and see in that Preds game yesterday, outshooting the opponent for once. And obviously they were down 1-0 because the Malkin's goal there, but you got to look at it that way, is that they're outshooting teams. Well, yesterday was probably one of the first of not many, but they've always been the team that's taken the brunt of all the pain in a roundabout way when it comes to shots on goal. They need to start putting it on the other team they're going up against. And once you start getting that production, and you're continuously getting opportunities on net, those are going to fall. Like Evangelista's shot yesterday off the iron, and then it goes right at the line. And
it's a great look.
Great look. If you can get more of those, and by the way, let's just put this out there. Luke Evangelista, after his contract signing, guy's been a player.
Contrary to one person's belief, yes.
He's been producing, and I don't care what anybody says. That dude is
living up. I love Luke. Pretty boy Vincenzo.
Pretty boy Vincenzo, eh?
Yeah. No, I figured if anyone, you would love that nickname.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? Vincenzo, that's my uncle's middle name.
Is it?
It is, yeah. But like looking at that, you have to say this team, they have the young pieces and veteran pieces, and they're mixing. This is where they need to be. And the fact that people don't see that is just, I don't want to say ignorant, you just got to open your eyeballs a little bit.
Yeah, clearly you don't watch the footage. The highlight tapes, you know, the game live. I know one guy that doesn't watch the Titans games live. He just listens.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Titans, let's get into that a little bit. The Titans in action tomorrow, live from Nissan Stadium in front of the dozens and dozens in attendance to take on the Houston Texans. We are right at the halfway point of the NFL season. The Titans have one win. There is not a lot of positivity coming out from that organization, whether it be front office, whether it be the actual team and the roster, the coaching, what say you, there's not a lot of positivity. So I ask you, Nick Frazier, is there any positive takeaway that you can conclude from the Tennessee Titans through one half of the NFL season?
Positives, let's see. Not that one. Maybe next year that'll happen. Yeah, we could do that. No, I don't really have much. No,
I can
thanks.
Just see steam coming out of your brain.
Not really steam. It's more like the gears are trying to turn and there's cobwebs on them.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what the Titans are to me right now. I know the actual positives on the serious note, though. I'd say they did a really good job of kind of cleaning house when it comes to Roger McCreary. Like, obviously a really good player, but yet I don't think he would not have been on a second contract with the Titans because he was projected, what, 4 years, $60 million, something like that,
yeah,
on Spotrac. So the Titans were not going to pay that. I think they did a good job of offloading him. They did a good job of offloading some other players. The whole L'Jarius Sneed thing, hopefully there is some form of compensation from the league because this has just turned into a
– well, he's gone after this year anyway.
I know, but I'm just saying because of the whole – off the field antics slash whatever, you just hope the NFL can kind of compensate the Titans in some form or fashion. Probably won't, but just something to look into. So overall, I think the Titans did a good job at offloading a few pieces here and there. What they did with Draymond Jones to Baltimore, I thought was a really good deal because you're getting rid of a guy who's in really good form. And more and less, when Baltimore gets a lot of their guys back from injury, Draymond Jones is just going to be a rotational piece. So the fact that you got a guy off the street and you signed him, and then you traded him away for a draft pick, that's good. That's good business. So if you can continue to do that with Mike Borgonzi and company, this team is headed in the right direction.
I agree. I think offloading guys that you can get some kind of value for is probably beneficial for the long-term plans of this franchise. The positive note I would give you is you have a few players that are playing their best football that they've ever played. Peter Skoronski, for example, is playing some fantastic football. He has truly blossomed into what you want to see by taking a guard at number 11. I think he is playing at a Pro Bowl level. The other guy playing at a Pro Bowl level is probably Jeffrey Simmons, who is playing not just at a Pro Bowl level. Before the injury, he was playing at an All-Pro level, the kind of level that gets you a Defensive Player of the Year award. And I'm not saying that he was completely deserving of that. The Titans are probably, as a conglomerate, the worst defense in the entire NFL. But Jeffrey Simmons truly makes an impact on the field when he is on the field, as that defense does not look the same without him. So I think that's the main reason that he was kept here, wasn't traded. They see him as a pillar moving towards the future, as they are clearly aiming for a good football team when this new stadium opens up, whether or not they get that. I'll leave that up to you. I don't personally believe so, but I think some individual performances from the Titans players are kind of the general positive takeaway I get. I mean, I think they made the right pick at number one, Cam Ward. He's had his struggles this season, but it could be much worse. You could be running a guy who has no idea how to play quarterback, and look, Cam Ward's only going to get better from here. That's my opinion on him, so I think that's a positive. They made the right pick. You got a lot of draft picks heading into this next season. You're probably going to have the number one pick again, if I were to be honest with you. This time, please sell it off without getting into any draft talk, as Robbie and Joe say. Please sell it off. You need those picks. But you can tell me there's no positives, but there are a few. You just got to search for him.
Yeah, you do have to search for him. And getting back to the offensive line real quick, you mentioned Peter Skoronski, who is playing very well right now. If you're the Titans and Mike Borgonzi, and I'm looking four steps into the future right now, Connor, so bear with me, you opt out of the, not Andre Dillard, Dan Moore Jr., excuse me.
Mandor.
Yeah, Mandor. Yeah. You opt out of that Dan Moore Jr. contract after the second year, okay? And you then find supplementary product out of the draft. You keep Latham at right tackle. You keep developing him. You hope he pans out. And give the center, the man, the myth, the legend, Lloyd Cushenberry, give him a little bit more time, okay?
Yeah.
Coming off that Achilles injury, nobody's talked about it. It's just my hunch. I've seen it throughout a lot of players in the NFL watching on Sundays. That Achilles thing is a mental, it's a mental block in some aspects. People may deny it. People may report about it. To me, I'm sticking to my guns on that. When you have an injury that is potentially career-ending and also career-changing, you have to adapt to that the year after. And that's what I think Lloyd's doing right now, is adapting to this new football I guess, football way that Lloyd Cushenberry has to play now. Obviously, as a center, but when you get that push off the line, there's a lot of pressure going on the back of those legs, those tree trunks as an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure that's – and mentally you're thinking, I'm strong enough to do this. I can play with the big guys. That's what you have to keep saying to yourself week in and week out. So going into the next offseason, you got to make sure your offensive line is solidified. And when you solidify the offensive line, your number one overall quarterback, Cam Ward, shouldn't have no worry in the world to be in the pocket. And if there's some pressure in the pocket, guess what? Throw it away. But having another year of Elk Isle Manor after his rookie year, who's I'd say if I had to give him a grade for the first half of the season, C.
C plus.
I'd go C. Yeah, C plus. Tim DK, I'd go C plus to B minus. Because look, those are young guys that are wide receivers. They're going to be core pillars. And I think you look at Tim DK, who has shown flashes, and I'd say honestly has deserved the full recognition that he can be a true force in this league, especially for the Titans. So when you have those pieces and you look at that optimistically, like you said, there are some bright spots on this team from the first half of the year, but you have to keep looking into the future because these are the guys that are going to be carried on through into the new stadium.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you have thoughts, any positive takeaways from the first half of the season for the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, what can we expect or not expect from the Titans in the second half of the season? Plus, I have a humble request for the Tennessee Titans this next game tomorrow at Nissan Stadium against the Houston Texans. That they do every single time they're in this situation. And I have a humble request for them not to do it. We'll get to your phones and texts coming up next as well. Again, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. We'll be right back on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Oh, radio.
Oh, yes.
He is back.
He has returned. I always thought he was lame, but the song's cool. So it's
don't you disrespect my Universe Mode WWE champion, okay?
Former champion in the Christian Skelton universe. Today, Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Arkansas Pine Bluff at Memorial Gym with a 2 p.m. tip-off, and the pregame show starts at 1:30 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Kevin Ingram on the call for that one. Arkansas Pine Bluff got viral last year, their football team did, because their band decided to play Cody Rhodes' theme song, and then he used them in, you know, one of his entrances.
Really?
So every time I hear Arkansas Pine Bluff, that's what I think of.
What was that return music there?
That was Zack Ryder.
Okay. I don't know if I know that wrestler.
He's pretty lame.
Okay. But, well, then no wonder
why. His song is good.
That song was kind of lame. That makes sense. All right, continue with your comment there. Sorry about that. You had something about the Titans? You would like to offer them something?
Well, first, let's get to some of your texts and phone calls, 615-737-1025. Do you have any positive takeaways from the first half of the season from the Tennessee Titans? Our good buddy Eric is on the phone line. He says he's got some positives. Eric, take it away.
Hey, guys. First of all, if you saw Zack Ryder was on SmackDown last night, Wrestle LA Night, for
yes.
a chance to wrestle John Cena. So
yes, that was the inspiration.
Of course, his real name is Matt Cardona, but a lot of people didn't know if he'd be back in the WWE ring. He was with NXT, but now he was in the WWE ring last night.
Right.
But guys, as far as positive, and then I'll get to a couple of observations about some insane stuff about the number one draft pick we wind up with at tomorrow's game. I think, you know, we like to think of individual players and all that type of stuff, but I will say, guys, definitely the special teams and the kicker has been a positive. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't like to hang their hats on stuff like that, but that's actually been doing pretty good because we had a special teams touchdown a couple weeks ago against the Chargers, and the kicker, even though he's missed a field goal, he certainly has been a bright spot for the Titans. But, guys, two other quick things, and I'll get off. I've heard already some insane takes if we wind up with another one draft pick, and I'm sure you've heard this. People saying, well, Cam's a bust. We got to get rid of him. We got to trade him.
Yep.
One of the most insane takes I've heard, and I don't know if it's this station or another station, I heard somebody call in and say, well, we ought to put together a package, trade Cam. And I heard somebody said after, I guess, the quarterback Mendoza's performance against Penn State with that last-second touchdown, somebody said we ought to draft him number one. My feeling is that if we do wind up with the number one pick, we ought to try and make a trade or package with the Jets since they've got some number one draft picks due to the fact that they definitely want a quarterback, or at least we wind up number one quarterback. Maybe not with him, but just try and get a package where we can get some picks to surround Cam, because I'm not in favor of getting rid of Cam. And the last thing, guys, as far as tomorrow's game, I think because of the bye, we might play better. Does that mean we're going to win? I don't know, but I'm hoping because we had the bye week and a chance to get some rest and get some players back that we'll play well and have a shot at beating the Texans tomorrow. But, guys, those are my thoughts. Guys, y'all take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, he raises some very interesting points there. My favorite part was he said the name Fernando Mendoza, and you and I just simultaneously shook our heads no.
I can't help myself, but when I hear that,
I'm not in on him.
The natural reaction is no. I mean, good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Great, good quarterback. But you look at this draft order right now with the Titans holding the number one overall pick. Then you have the Saints, the Jets, the Giants, the Browns, and Vegas. Mm-hmm. Those are your top six. If you're looking for a trade partner, and to Eric's call, which was a fantastic call, it's tough to find that if you're the Titans. Because, look, there's going to be probably some murmurs out there saying, oh, you need to trade Cam Ward, this, and this. You're really going to have to get some national media attraction to really carry that narrative, because that's what's going to carry that draft narrative, saying, oh, well, if you're Mike Borgonzi, yeah, we don't really like Cam that much, but I think we're going to hold on to him, or maybe not. We're indecisive about it. Do you want this first overall pick, New York Jets? Because we know you want one. And they're thinking, yeah, but if you're not going to take a quarterback, we'll just stick at three and get our quarterback.
Yep.
That's the issue, is you have teams like the Saints and the Jets who are bad that need quarterbacks, but they're right behind the Titans. And the Titans,
and they know the Titans are not taking a quarterback.
Correct. So then you're thinking, well, how on John – not John, but how on God's green earth
– John's green earth.
Yeah, not John, but God's green earth. How do we get rid of this pick? You got to look at teams like Vegas who do need a quarterback at six, because, look – you have now have leverage. You got to look at teams like Vegas. Look at teams like Miami, although they have Tua. You look at teams like maybe Atlanta. Obviously, there was some comments from what's his name, the lefty quarterback from Atlanta, Michael Penix Jr.
Penix.
Thank you. My brain's all over the place. I'm an old man. No, but you look at those comments saying, "Well, I don't have anybody to trust me as a quarterback." That's concerning. So you look at more teams like Arizona. Maybe you look at Minnesota. I mean, Carolina's got something going on with Bryce Young. Everything else, you have a quarterback on all those teams. So you look at those three, four teams in the top five, top six, those are your trade contenders.
Yeah, I can't buy into the idea that, well, Cam Ward wasn't good his rookie year. Let's just give up on him. He was a bust.
Yeah.
No, these things take time. And look at the situation he came into. Probably the worst in the entire league. So you got to give him time. You got to put guys around him that are going to help him develop.
Yeah.
And I can't get into the idea of just giving up on him.
And the comment Eric made that he said he heard somewhere about, well, if the Titans were to trade away Cam Ward and a giant, you know, pick, swap, whatever, and then go draft Mendoza, guess what you're doing, Titans fans? You're holding on to the same situation. You're getting a rookie quarterback that knows nothing about the NFL, that knows nothing about your system, and you're starting from ground zero once again.
Yep.
Why not hold on
right
to Cam
back to
Ward?
Square one.
Yeah, why not hold on to Cam Ward that knows the system, that knows a year under the NFL system and under your NFL belt? Like that's what you need to do. Hold on to the guy, let him develop. That's what NFL football is. You build through the draft.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I have a humble plea for the Tennessee Titans tomorrow. So every time the Titans play a backup quarterback, and they're doing it tomorrow, they're doing it against the Texans. C.J. Stroud's out in concussion protocol. Davis Mills, the dude with maybe the second largest neck in the entire NFL, is going to be the starter for the Texans. So I have a humble plea for them. Every time they play a backup quarterback, they make him look like a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's very cute. It gets old very quickly.
Just call him cute?
Did you just call me cute? Anyways, can they not make Davis Mills look like prime Dan Marino tomorrow? That would be great. Please and thank you. I know it's a lot to ask, but let's not make the backup quarterback who can barely get snaps on a bad Houston Texans team look like a first ballot Hall of Famer. I realize that's a lot to ask, but can we please not do that? Thank you.
Unfortunately, he's going to look like a first ballot Hall of Famer tomorrow.
About to say, I think you're asking for too much, unfortunately.
I know, because, I mean, we could go back in time. Malik Willis did
it. I think that's the worst one. I think Malik Willis is the worst one.
That's the ultimate one
that's ever happened.
Mac Jones did it last year with the Jags.
Davis Mills did it last year as well.
Davis Mills. Can we please not do that again? Please and thank you.
Even Daniel Jones did it when they came to Nashville, what, a year or two ago? What was it, 23 season?
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
It's not even backups. It's just bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That look like Hall of Famers.
Well, now Daniel Jones is a legit quarterback.
Tyrod Taylor has done it before.
Yep.
You know, we can go back in time. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Hey, don't diss
Man,
Jimmy
we
G.
have lost to a lot of mid quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's not. I'm kind of over it. It needs to be stopped. So,
can we yeah, be nice.
Can we not do that?
I don't know, Chief. I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. Like Christian was saying, you may be asking for a little too much there. If I'm the Titans, you try to stop the run game with Woody Marks and Nick Chubb and
yeah,
all those
and,
guys.
And look, the Texans have a horrible offensive line.
Yeah.
So
if you can get pressure, and again, go back to the Jeffrey Simmons point you made earlier in the show. You get Jeffrey Simmons rolling, and you start clogging up the middle, getting those double teams on Jeffrey Simmons, opening up more spots for guys like Sebastian Joseph Day, Tavondre Sweat, then you have those one-on-one chances. You're going to get to the quarterback. I mean, there is a reason why C.J. Stroud is in concussion protocol, because the offensive line couldn't hold on to him, give him enough time, and he had to roll out of the pocket, run for something, and then get a concussion. So I'm not sure Davis Mills is going to be running like C.J. Stroud is, but there is some pressure that will be had against that offensive line of Houston.
Well, I am certainly sure that Houston Texans ownership said, that guy's got a lot of neck, let's draft him, as the great Frank Caliendo once said. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you got any Titans thoughts. What are some positives to come away for the first part of the season? But coming up next. Let's crack open the file cabinet once again. The Frazier Files with
Nick
Frazier.
I got something good for you.
Coming up next, and apparently he's got something good for me. So hopefully, short and sweet.
It's patriotic. You'll love it.
Oh, I love patriotism. God, I love this country so much. We'll get to that next here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow, the NFL Game of the Week is the Chiefs versus the Broncos at 3:25 on 102.5 The Game. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Masero in 12 South. The file cabinet has been opened. Nicholas J. Frazier. I don't actually know your middle name.
L. Not J. L. But yeah.
What is your middle name?
Lorenzo.
Ah.
Yeah. Very.
Lorenzo.
Yeah. Named after my grandfather. There you go. Yeah. But no. The Frazier files are open.
They are open.
And boy, oh
and
boy.
Apparently, we're going to get a little patriotic here. So
we
please.
Are. Take America, the greatest country on earth.
Oorah.
Oorah. MLS has decided to go along with the rest of the world. Thank goodness. And the rest of the world, I mean the calendar, the sports calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So MLS is no longer doing their season beginning in like February.
The world as in the actual world or the world as in America?
America.
There you go.
Thank you. Yes.
You're damn right.
Yes.
It's the only country that matters.
Yeah. MLS has now adopted the world soccer calendar that they will start in roughly the summer to spring transfer windows. So again, this will start probably around August, give or take. Have a winter break in December, January, start back up February, and they'll end in July, which is probably the right thing to do because you have a bunch of different tournaments that, like, you look at the Leagues Cup, you look at the U.S. Open Cup, you look at, I'm trying to think of some other tournaments, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, all these different, you know, tournaments inside the regular season, they don't line up with the schedule of MLS. So it's very hard if you look – and again, you can catch more of this on Talking Couch coming up, you know, with Claudio Villalobos in the coming weeks. But
yes!
Yeah, exactly. Everybody loves that. But, no, you look at the scheduling and the different tournaments, they don't line up with the roster restrictions. And that meaning said, like, if you have an international break and there's a player that's gone for international duty and you're playing in a vital U.S. Open Cup game – you got to go play somebody from your second division team, and then that doesn't work out. So you're really finagling the system when it comes to roster construction, and especially with the MLS being the only league that has a salary cap, it just and they have the certain restrictions on what to really get. That's what is frustrating to me as a soccer fan, is you need to get rid of the salary cap, and I think it will happen in MLS because a lot of these DPs you're bringing in are bringing you in the money, and everybody sees it after Lionel Messi came to the MLS and Jordi Alba retiring, Sergio Busquets now retiring. Messi's now bringing in guys like Rodrigo De Paul, who played in Italy for a Serie A team called Udinese and then went to Atletico Madrid.
Oh, you just revealed one of Christian's Where Are They Now answers. Oh,
dang it.
Darn.
Man.
But no, you look at guys like Rodrigo De Paul, who is a vital midfielder for that team in Inter Miami, who, you know, took care of business against Nashville. And Nashville, I mean, what Nashville is doing now in constructing the roster, they're building from the ground up with youth players, and the youth players they're getting from international places like Norway and Australia and stuff like that, with Yazbek and Tagseth, and you get a guy like Jason Palacios that is a really good defender who did not play in the last game because of a hamstring situation that was a game time decision, but that's behind us, okay? But besides that, it's just more the fact of MLS has finally said, you know what? After the 2026 season concludes, the beginning of the summer of 2027, we will adopt the summer to spring season format, which is just genius. The world will love that. Obviously, the only issue or drawback to it is that they don't have the TV exposure that they're wanting because that's prime opportunity for football in the fall, hockey, baseball, like that. Again, as a baseball fan, as we all are baseball fans,
yeah,
this is good for the game of baseball because it brings more eyeballs to the diamond instead of more eyeballs to the pitch or to the football field or the hockey rink or whatever it may be. The summer is now, you could say it as baseball's time to shine.
So what month specifically would the season start?
The month specifically would start in August, just like the rest of the world.
Okay.
And it would end in April. May. The MLS Cup, the actual cup of the league, would be in May.
Is that, obviously you think that's good for soccer, right?
Yes, very good for soccer.
Do you not have any concerns that they're going to be overshadowed by football and, of course, hockey and basketball and pretty much every other sport going on at the same time, not named baseball?
I'll answer that question with a question. Would you be okay with it? And because of this new format, Nashville comes back with 3 or 4 championships.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Exactly. You'd be fine with that, right? I think with this new format, you no longer put teams like Nashville, who have a lot of young rising stars that are always being poached from their international teams. Mm-hmm. They don't have to play these, I wouldn't say scrum guys, but they're not playing their bench players in rotation while they have international guys out there. So to have the fact that you're on the same schedule as the rest of the world and you're able to keep your actual young veteran-esque players in some aspects to be really good for your team, it's a huge plus. Nashville now can compete with the San Diegos, the Inter Miamis, the FC Cincinnati's, the Columbuses, all those teams that are really good when Nashville doesn't have all their players. Because look at a guy like Jacob Schaffelberg, who's been playing pretty well for Nashville. When he does play for Nashville, that is, because he's always on international call-up. And that's frustrating if you're a Nashville SC fan, because either if he's hurt or he's playing international games for Canada. That's the double-edged sword you have. So with a guy like Schaffelberg, who is really fast, really good, you need to keep him for Nashville and club play. And that's why I think Nashville and the rest of MLS have said, you know what, let's adopt this format from summer to spring and see how it plays out. And again, this is all, in my opinion, revolves around Lionel Messi to play more games of soccer, to bring in more money, and to drive in just more money to MLS. Because, again, this is what has been going on for years and years and years. Everybody thought when COVID happened, MLS would, this is a perfect time. Everything has stopped. We're going to adopt the spring to summer format. Let's do this. They never did. Now they have.
And at the end of the day, God bless America.
Yes.
God bless our troops. And gentlemen, start your engines.
Indeed.
You know what's funny? When you started that segment, I thought it was going to be a different MLS topic, because I actually did see the other day that there's a debate on the playoff format, right? Because it's best of three right now, and a lot of people want to go to aggregate scoring. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the best of three, it's, you could call it hocus pocus. I know Halloween's past, but you look at that format and you say, this is not baseball. We're not doing the best of three. Soccer's always meant for aggregate, and I'm cool with aggregate. And obviously, Europeans have also adopted the away goals no longer count as more. I don't know if you guys knew
that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
They counted for more?
Yeah. So if you guys tied, like if you and Connor tied a soccer game at 1-1 and you're the away team, you advance over the home team.
You assume we'd That's be awesome. Good at soccer.
I mean, you guys, yeah. I gave you the courtesy 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I was solid till I was about 11.
Yeah.
Joey from Bellevue on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I have season tickets to Nashville SC. I love the schedule change. I agree 100%. 120% with Nick. It sucks letting good players go for national duty when you have big MLS games to be played. So you got support.
Thank you.
You have my support.
Joey and Bellevue, appreciate you, man. He's my number one fan. How about that?
Big soccer guy, seems like.
My mom's a number one fan. Sorry, Joey. You take the back seat here.
Yeah. Well, where do I rank on this list?
You're in the car.
In the trunk?
No, you just you pick your
seat. Tied to the roof?
How big is this car? Does that guarantee him top four? Not necessarily.
It's a three-row car.
Okay, okay.
So you're getting three seats in the back and then three seats in the last row.
It's like Jimmy Dyke's jet for March Madness.
You almost unlocked another rant on Carl Ravitch for me.
Uh-oh.
Carl Ravitch the other day in the Kentucky-Louisville game.
Not a 50%, no.
Well, Louisville was up six, and he goes, why are they pressing? They're up six. I'm like, Carl, they're trying to take time off the clock.
Do you watch basketball?
I can't stand him. I think he sucks in baseball, but
bless his heart.
He's even worse in basketball.
Bless his
615-737-1025. Thank you, Joey. Is the phone number if you want to chime in and see if you can fit yourself into the clown car that is the Nick Frazier bandwagon. Coming up next.
Palacious and comfortable.
Coming up next. The results are in. We react to your poll results of our question. Which GOAT was most revolutionary for their sport? Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Willie Mays, or Wayne Gretzky? The results are in. We will break it down and give our opinions coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.